Books of the Bible. Leviticus is the guidebook for the priests and Levites as they attend to their duties in the temple. In Leviticus, we learn that God is holy, sin is serious, and that God requires a sacrifice for atonement. Thankfully, we have complete atonement in the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This isn't even going to be a role play. This is Wretched Radio. Oh, Jimmy, during the break, we now have an opportunity to confront one another.
Okay. You were
it's
wrong.
An opportunity. I didn't say we gotta. I'm just saying it is a potential conflict situation.
Okay.
You disagree with my hardwood selection for the church.
Yeah, I did.
Because?
Hardwood sound bounces off hard surfaces. So the
think
acoustics.
You were in radio or something.
The acoustics are going to be terrible.
Yeah. Okay. Well, see, here's your problem, pally boy. What you don't know is I was not thinking of the sanctuary because I do think that where the pews are, there should be carpet, or just the aisles, there should be carpet. I was thinking of the fellowship hall. Definitely hardwoods because of, you know, you do the fellowship meals.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's the Sunday school with the muffins. Oh, did we have good muffins on Sunday morning? Banana cinnamon? Get out. They get messy. So you put in hardwoods. So you're wrong.
Okay. All right. I'll own that. I receive it.
Aren't there a million trite things we can fight over? And what, by the way, that was one of them. I honestly, when I was saying hardwoods, I in my mind, I was genuinely envisioning the fellowship hall. I wasn't thinking sanctuary. You're right. Acoustically, you got to do something about the acoustics inside of a church. but Jimmy, hold on. Yes. Wait a second. What about ancient churches? Did you ever, we played it here. There was a woman, I don't know who she is. She does YouTube videos. Okay, that doesn't narrow it down at all. She does YouTube videos. She was in this ancient church, I think somewhere in Eastern Europe. And it was this glorious, just the arching ceilings. And she sang a hymn. Oh, the acoustics were magnificent inside of that building. And I'm pretty certain in the 1300s when they built it, they weren't putting down Berber.
Well, I'm pretty certain the way they built the buildings amplified the acoustics because they didn't have microphones back then to worry about.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So I think what we've concluded is this. You need to design your buildings the old-fashioned way. Isn't that the lesson learned here?
Yep, absolutely.
I think it'll eliminate all kinds of fighting over flooring, and you want that inside of your church. Okay, here's another one that we can be fighting over. Christmas. I mean, we can fight over the dopiest stuff, can't we? What time is the service going to be? What do you mean, 4 o'clock? My relatives are showing up at 5 o'clock. What am I supposed to do? Put the lasagna in the oven? Okay, that's what we do. Put the lasagna in the oven, and then it'll be cooking for 2 hours, and it'll just be ruined. And off to the races we go, and we're agitated with other people at church. So many opportunities to be bugged by stuff. That is, I wish I had this, because I went through this, the number of verses, the number of Proverbs alone, there's a staggering number of Proverbs that talk about overlooking sin. And Ephesians 4 talks about it. 1 Peter talks about it. And there were at least 7 Proverbs that talk about how to avoid conflict, how to make sure that you keep the peace as much as possible. And one of the ways to do that is to overlook sin. Overlook it. And then, oh, I wish I had the verse. Now, Jimmy, I don't know if you can find this one, but overlook sin. It was a prepositional phrase, in love. There it is right there. In love. You love the people that you go to church with. You love the people that God has put underneath your roof. And this is an illustration perhaps I've used before, and it hurts every single time I use it. Think of somebody on the planet that you esteem. I mean, somebody like, whoa, yeah, man, that would be awesome to meet that person. And you do. And let's just say that they inadvertently do something that either bugs you, it annoys you, or even it was an outright sin. What would you do, most likely? Yeah. They're probably just having a bad day. The flight here, they got delayed, and who can blame them for being crabby? Because after all, flying through the Atlanta airport, that'll make anybody crabby. You'd come up with all kinds of excuses to be able to overlook it. Why? Because you love/honor them. So conversely, if somebody in your life does something that either annoys you, bugs you, or is even a sin against you, what would be the reason you don't respond the exact same way? Why is it that you respond perhaps in an agitated state or downright angry or hostile? What's the difference? You're not esteeming the other the same way that you esteem the celebrity or the evangelist or the theologian that you think would be the bee's knees to meet. You just have a higher opinion of them than you happen to have of yourself. And then I think we can just flip the glass and look through it at a different angle and realize that means if I am not treating my loved ones, my family members the same way, it's because I'm esteeming myself as better than them. And we're not supposed to do that. Jimmy, you get those Proverbs?
Proverbs 10:12.
Yeah.
Hatred stirs up strife. Love covers all offenses.
Yeah, there it is. Mm-hmm. It just does. And just think about 1 Corinthians 13. It can be used for marriage, but it's really written for the body, that we're to overlook, that we're to hope all things, trust all things. Why? Because we love one another. I was reading an article by... where are my glasses? By the way, Jimmy, how do you like my... I'll just call it an outfit because I don't know what else to call it. How do you like my outfit today?
Yeah, you're pretty snazzy. Huh? You're pretty snazzy.
Do you think so?
Yeah, on the radio.
That's exactly why I'm in this. I'm running all over the place today. You probably noticed I go to the gym. I'm going to the gym after work today. So this is... I'm in gym clothes, basically, is what I'm telling you. It happens. I don't go to the gym in a suit and tie, you know. But everybody in the ministry is pointing and they're giggling. And I don't appreciate that very much. It was written by buildingjerusalem.blog. Over recent years, there's been a push by some to mark spirituality according to your Christmas celebrations. I haven't seen this one, but I'm going to trust the guy. In the red corner, there are those who believe Christmas is a vital festival where we must work hard to make Christ supreme. Well, that should always be our goal, but I digress. How you celebrate is a measure of how much you love him. That's the red state. In the blue corner, red corner. In the blue corner, there are those who follow the example of Parliament during the Protectorate. I don't know what that means. For them, Christmas is pagan or Catholic, and frankly, rarely seems to have much to do with Jesus anyway. Well, I actually affirm all of that. Whatever its roots, it's pretty much a secular festival these days, where few people are really thinking about the incarnation and are more bothered about presents than anything else. It is little more than a commercialized sin fest that we should steer clear from and stop ending sentences with prepositions. Those are the two corners. Where are you? Now, if you're in one of those red corners or blue corners, chances are pretty good if your goal isn't unity and harmony and overlooking a multitude of disagreements in love, your church will probably have some squabbles this year. We just do things in love. We see that the service is being done, the church is being open, they set the temperature at, we need a new microwave oven, whatever it is that's bugging you. If it is, I can tell you the component that is missing. I can just tell you what it is. Love. Love. The Bible is spectacularly accurate with its admonition the connection between overlooking sins and love. Now, by the way, this particular article takes the middle of the ring, if you will, and says it's neither commanded nor forbidden in the Bible. So there's liberty. So we shouldn't be using it as a either corner, red or blue corner, shouldn't be using it to determine somebody else's spirituality. It would be one of those gray areas. And he writes this. This was a good sentence. I'm conscious that many round about us will be looking at what we do. Whilst I do not think our Christmas celebrations are a measure of our love for Christ, I'm painfully conscious many in our community do think it says something about our love for Jesus. And his point is, if you don't participate in Christmas, what are your pagan neighbors thinking? Now, we could dive down that hole for a minute, but the point is the same. Even that needs to be driven by what's my goal with my neighbors? How many lights do you put up or don't put up? I'm not thinking about me. I'm not thinking about the inconvenience. I'm not thinking about Chevy Chase. I'm thinking about my neighbor. What is my goal? In other words, I'm acting what Christmas represents. Doing all things for others. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, let's take a minute and talk about your Christmas shopping list. You know, the one with all of those people who either have everything or return everything. Well, from now through Christmas, Fortis Institute is running a sale up to 75% off of everything in the Fortis store. Here's what makes this better than another ugly Christmas sweater. Spend $75, we're going to throw in Thou Shalt Judge featuring Justin Peters and Todd Friel completely free. It's giving the gift of biblical wisdom. And we'll even cover shipping on orders over $75, because between untangling Christmas lights and dodging invites to your office Christmas party, you've already got enough stress this time of year. Listen, you could waste your Christmas budget on another gadget that'll be obsolete by Valentine's Day, or you could give something that's been relevant for about 2,000 years. Just visit FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org. And while everybody else is out panic buying scented candles and gift cards, you could actually be giving something that won't end up at next year's White Elephant Exchange. FortisInstitute.org.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
Hey, do you ever wish you could be in two places at once? Well, your money can. That's right. Thanks to a $500,000 matching grant, every dollar you give to Fortis Institute is literally having an identity crisis. It thinks it's $2. And who are we to argue with confused currency? And I know what you're thinking. This sounds like one of those too-good-to-be-true deals. But I promise there is no fine print, no while supplies last, and definitely no purchase of additional items required. Just straight-up dollar-for-dollar matching. Here's the deal. You gift $100, it becomes $200. Gift $500, it transforms into $1,000 faster than you can say tax-deductible donation. And if you're feeling really generous, $5,000 becomes $10,000. But unlike those infomercial offers that run every other week, this one, it really does have an expiration date, December 31st. That's when this magical money-multiplying moment ends. Just visit FortisInstitute.org right now. That's FortisInstitute.org. In a world where everything seems to be getting smaller, isn't it nice to see your impact getting bigger? FortisInstitute.org.
Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like plenary verbal inspiration. God inspired every word of Scripture, guiding the human authors as they wrote without violating each man's personality and writing style. In the Bible, we have the very Word of God.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And speaking of the local church, Friel, that's pretty much all you speak about, point. This is Wretched Radio. Yeah, we do like to talk about the local church because we happen to be of the opinion it's really important. Is as important as politics and government issues are, that's downstream. Do you know what the headwaters are in this country? Every country, the church. The health of the church determines the health of a nation, which is a good word for you if you perhaps have been exercised because the political pundits said, we're not going to take it anymore. We're Twisted Sister, and we got to do something about this. And then they don't tell you what to do. Here's what the Bible tells you you can do that will affect a nation. Be involved in your local church. Serve in the context of your local church. That is something you can actually do that will affect change. And that's why we're just on about the local church a lot. It's one of our chief goals here at Fortis Institute. It is to encourage participation in the local church. And if you're not a member, serving member of a local church, I'm telling you, find what good one near you, join it, your life will change. But don't just join it, participate in it. And your life will be different. Hold on. I've got an RDUG call here here it is right here. It's called the Plus One Approach to Church. This might be helpful for you if you're struggling to get involved in the life of a local church, even if you've been going there for a long time and you just find, I'm not a part of this thing yet. This was written by clearlyreformed.org. If you don't feel plugged in, consider the Plus One Approach. In addition to the Sunday morning worship service. So the Sunday morning worship service, that is an absolute given. You will be there. Sports, second. Kids sports, second. Sleeping in, second. Going to church on Sunday morning and being committed to that totally and fully. That is like the bare minimum involvement in the context of a local church. That is the bare minimum. That should be an immovable marker for you. Now, this author says, now add one more thing. Just add one more thing. Eventually you can add two or three, but just add one more thing. He writes this, get involved in the structures that are already in place in your church and get ready for this list. This is why the government used to think churches were good things in a community because of all of these things that we do. You can participate in the prayer meeting. Does your church have one? Commit to that. All righty. Then how's about you commit to Sunday school class every week or the Wednesday night class, or you join the choir, or you get involved with the youth group, or you sign up to be a greeter, or you go to the men's retreat, or you join the outreach committee, or you teach a class. You volunteer with a local ministry your church supports. Do Meals on Wheels. Join the softball team. Do one more thing. And you'll start to find that you really just enjoy participating in this entity more because you're doing life together more. So if you've been struggling, maybe just add one more thing in addition to committing to going to church. Sunday morning when your church meets, or frankly, whatever day they happen to meet, participate. Plus one. I would be remiss at this moment if I, at this time of the year, didn't perhaps encourage you to consider supporting the mission of Fortis Institute. We're about the local church. Here's what we're about. We want to preach the gospel. We want to do things that will equip the saints to proclaim good news. And we want to do things that will strengthen the local church. That's what we're about. If that resonates with you, this would be a really excellent time to consider becoming a gospel partner with us. We currently have a really large matching gift. It's $500,000.
What? Hey, today's also Giving Tuesday.
Okay, and it's Giving Tuesday. It's on for the whole month, so
yeah.
Let's not play that little nonprofit marketing game. We have a matching grant. This is the time of year. It's really so crucial for so many ministries. So if you resonate, with what we see are as important tasks in support of the saints and the local church, the proclamation of the gospel. Would you please consider becoming a gospel partner? You can do that at fortisinstitute.org. If you've never partnered with us, we'd like to encourage you to consider doing so. I'll put it this way even. We'll knit our hearts together deeper. That's what happens. What did Jesus say about your money? Your heart will be where your treasure is. So please consider becoming a gospel partner at fortisinstitute.org. And speaking of Fortis Institute, Jimmy, we added 7 fellows. And when we say fellows, we mean fellows, not like actors, which can be actors and actors. These were dudes that are experts in their territory. Mm-hmm. Greg Gifford is one of the fellows.
That's right.
And what is the big deal about Greg Gifford this week?
Oh, this week, his Transformed hits 100 episodes.
That's just awesome.
It is.
I encourage you, please go to fortisinstitute.org and find all of our podcasts. They're just going to bless your heart what they're going to do. They are going to grow you. They will help you. They will strengthen you. What was the one that I listened to, Greg's? What was last week that Greg was on about? It was awesome too.
Stubborn people. That's what he talked about last week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's it. Yeah, because I listened to all of them. And I can, believe it or not, I can get a little confused. Yeah, but how to deal with stubborn people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if I recall, one of his encouragements was that God has that stubborn person in your life. It'll have a ricochet effect on you. You got somebody stubborn, it's going to change you. They might not change, but you will in dealing with stubborn people. That's the type of stuff he deals with. So go to fortisinstitute.org, become a gospel partner if you can, and start listening to the podcast. Brad Bigney's on marriage and family, ACEs, John Krotz. I got to tell you, I don't know what the numbers are, like who's getting more podcasts and all that jazz. But I've been meeting people that are just really digging John Krotz.
Yep.
I think it's because he's John Krotz. He borders on agitatingly nice. But it's so genuine. You can tell the guy is not, you know, there's a difference between nice and schmarmy. He's just warm and kind. I know, pastoral. Adam Tyson, aiming at the Gen Zs. We hope that you will participate by downloading all of those different podcasts. You can do it wherever you podcast, by the way. Speaking of the local church, here's an idea for you. This is something that caught my attention, probably because I've seen it done before. And I've remarked to myself, well, isn't that interesting? Your church service probably has a particular order, doesn't it? And it's pretty standard. Maybe it deviates on occasion, but overall, pretty predictable. And by the way, there's benefits to that. I'm not saying you have to stay locked in it, but there are benefits. One of the reasons people return to the mothership of the Catholic Church is because when they return after 20 years, it's the same thing. And it feels good. It doesn't throw me. That's a benefit to be consistent and faithful throughout the years. Not a law. But once I saw a church service where I think it might have been a call to worship, and then the dude got up and preached. It's like, hey, whoa, not how we do it. The sermon comes at the end. And that's what we do at our church, by the way. But I thought, well, that's kind of interesting because now I have something to sing about. Now I have something to praise the Lord about. My head has been filled with knowledge, and not just an intellectual endeavor, but it's now it can work its way into my heart. So the rest of the service can be the outworking from head to heart. This was written by Stephen Neal, K-N-E-A-L-E. This is buildingjerusalem.blog also. He writes, we try to tie the elements of our service together. We think it's most helpful to hear from God's word pretty early on in the service, trying to strike the note that we want to hear from the Lord before we do pretty much anything else. And then let the other elements of the service all function to reinforce the word or serve as our response to it. This is, I don't know if you dig this type of conversation, but I do, because Well, I have to put together our church service every week. And I try to make sure all of the elements are coherent, that everything is on one subject, which is the sermon. And even as I'm in the sermon or I'm in the service sometime, I'm like, oh, that, you know, that, yes, good. I know that that's reinforcing, but the congregation doesn't because they haven't heard the service yet. And I wonder if maybe this isn't a good idea to do a little switcheroo. It means the order of service matters. The preaching can't be at the end of the service. In our setup, if we're going to respond to the word, we must get into it early, preach it early, and let the other elements respond to it. Huh. It's also been my experience. We retain far more when the word is preached early because, well, we're fresh at that point. And then it gets reiterated and repeated and banged into our noggin through prayers and songs and communion. The word is reinforced and then some over and over again. Huh. I wonder if that might not be a good idea. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.